Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Nice job, Eddie Scazzeri. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton on the Fan. And of course, worldwide on CBS Sports Network. Got a great show for you today as we get through the Memorial Day weekend. And Aaron Judge is back and back in a big way. The New York Mets, by the way, playing competitive ball, albeit under 500. Tiger Woods makes the news in a manner that if you're Tiger Woods or a fan of his, you'd hope that you never make the news. And, of course, we'll wait and we'll wait and we'll wait and we'll wait some more for the NBA Finals to start. And then, of course, is the Odell Beckham crap. He is now being counseled by Chris Carter. Now, if you're a New York Giant fan and you think of the one guy you don't want counseling Odell Beckham, it's Chris Carter. But at least he knows that he can find a fall guy somewhere along the way. That being said, Memorial Day, of course, brings that update on the baseball because it's typically the unofficial line of where are you, what are you, how close are you, how far away are you? And with that, Boomer Esiason joins us.
Yeah, I'm here now.
Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
Well, you know,
as Eddie might say, the show does start at 6.
Yeah, I know that, but Al is out there talking to me about, you know, whatever Phil Mushnick, that idiot, decided to write in the paper today because it makes no absolute sense whatsoever.
There's a lot of things in the paper today that make no sense.
I mean, he is a complete and utter moron. But anyway, the point being is that, I'm happy and I'm sad all at once.
I'm happy.
I'm happy, and as I wear my University of Maryland pullover shirt today, I'm very proud because the men and women won the lacrosse titles, respectively. The women actually won 23-0. Oh. They are like the they are like the Connecticut women's basketball team. That's how good they are.
Right.
That's
23-0.
They have something going on there. It's pretty special. And the men, really, since they got a new coach a few years back, have been in the finals quite a bit, just have never been able to secure the deal, and they secure the deal by beating Ohio State. So for that, I'm very grateful, very proud and everything else. And then I'm also sad because a dear friend, Frank DeFord, passed away yesterday. And, for those of you who don't know who Frank is, two words that I can probably used to describe him, and you've met him a few times. One would be dignified. The other one would be elegant. He has been a friend and a mentor for years and years and years. I met him back in 1989. He was speaking at a dinner. He lost his daughter, Alex, to the disease of cystic fibrosis at the young, tender age of 10. He spoke so amazingly that I decided to get involved in the fight against cystic fibrosis while I didn't have any kids at the time.
Right.
That's how powerful his speech was. And lo and behold, 2 years later, fate would have it, Gunnar was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. And Frank has been some sort of a mentor, kind of. I tried to follow his footsteps any way that I possibly could. And certainly we lost a great friend in the cystic fibrosis world and also in the sports world because he was a great writer, terrific on NPR, if you like that sort of radio, great on HBO, Sports Illustrated, just what I would consider and all types of broadcasting, wherever he was dignified and eloquent. And there's you'll never find one person in this world that would ever say anything bad about Frank DeFord.
No, yeah, listen, from that standpoint, it's very rare that someone in the media is regarded in the way he was, respected by the men and women he covered, respected by his peers. and just one of the last of a dying breed of iconic writers that transcended the medium in which they worked for. Obviously started the National.
That's right.
Which had a multi-year run and is regarded as one of the great American sports writers, not just of a generation, but of all time. And I know you were close to them. He's been on our show before to talk about cystic fibrosis and his life, and
and a big thank you to HBO because they allowed him to basically take a segment of their real sports program and kind of, I would say it's not shamelessly because he and I have a unique connection and people didn't really know of that connection.
Sure.
And they allowed us the 20 minutes to tell our story as who we are and what our lives had turned out to be because of the disease of cystic fibrosis. So they gave us the platform. We used it. And as Brian Gumbel was introducing the spot, and I rewatched it again last night just to kind of get myself thinking about Frank once again. And I just thought it was just an amazing, amazing job by them and HBO. So.
Meanwhile, the baseball weekend comes and goes. I don't want to hear another word about Aaron Judge not hitting a home run since they created the Judge's Chambers as he hits a grand slam. How you like me now? And then hits another home run yesterday. Leads the league with 17. Gets struck out, of course, with a chance to tie the game.
Well, that's Buck Showalter's Orioles.
But the reality
it's one
is
thing
this.
To beat the A's. Now you got to beat the Orioles, who actually came
good
in.
Game
I think they were on
3-2.
I know they were on a 9-game losing streak.
There was seven.
Seven game.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. They had lost 7 in a row. And listen, it was a good low scoring game. But Judge gets up there with a chance. And again, it's just a nasty day yesterday, right?
Right.
But it's one of those moments where that guy gets up. In the ninth inning,
you got to watch.
I don't care who you root for, you got to watch. And you watch him strike out on three great pitches. But a good weekend for the Yanks. The New York Mets, it's interesting. Listen, they're under 500. God knows what's going to happen to them next, right?
I just kind of feel like,
but it's almost like
something's happening.
It seems like it's coming together a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you what, the offense has been unbelievable.
I don't know what to say about it, but it seems like...
Yoannis who?
We're exactly right. We'll get to that in a second. But it seems like, I don't know. I know they're 5 games under. They got good pitching out of Gesellman yesterday, who actually goes 7 innings. Shocker.
I think we got 5 or 6 games in a row now, 6 or plus innings by the starter.
So it's... Listen, it's too late.
Losing a game over the weekend in extra innings, that was a killer.
That was a brutal, loss for them.
Because, let's face it, Addison Reed is not really a closer. I mean, he's supposed to be the setup guy.
Right.
And now you're asking him to do something that he's been imperfect at, to say the least, this year. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the problem of the bullpen. And I'd like to say thank you to Sandy Alderson for finally coming out and saying, look, the bullpen is not Terry Collins' fault.
It's not. That being said, even yesterday, the first two guys get on, you're like, here we go.
That's right.
And then he takes care of business in the next three. But here's what's funny about the Mets. So your boy Gesellman, who pitched his best game of the year.
Actually knocked in 2 runs.
Right? He goes 7 innings. What's it? I think 3 hits, whatever it was.
I'll tell you.
He's going to get sent down.
There was, maybe he won't.
You don't
but
send him down after that performance, do you?
Well, the last couple performances.
Or at least they moved him to the bullpen, maybe.
Remember they pulled him out the last time a little bit early because they wanted to get him, maybe he's finding something. But, it was interesting. There was a really interesting moment in this game. And, Ronnie and Keith and those guys were talking about it yesterday. And that was when the bases were loaded, 2 out, and Gesellman was up.
Right.
And you could have pinch hit Neil Walker in that situation. Right-handed pitcher, left-handed hitter,
right.
The whole thing. And Ronnie was like lamenting the fact that they didn't do that. It's almost as if they were saying that like the Met dugout was over, wasn't prepared for this situation because after getting the first two guys out,
right.
You didn't think that they were going to, load the bases and you're not going to get Neil Walker. You're not thinking that far down the road.
Right. You're not playing chess. You're
but
playing checkers.
But all of a
checkers.
Sudden happens and, Gesellman luckily walked. Now, that umpire was squeezing,
yes.
The Brewer pitcher, but it was kind of interesting because that's why you like that's why I like our booth because they're not afraid to say what they would do, even if what they would do did not happen and it worked out well for the Mets. At least Ronnie told me this is what I would do and why I would do
and
it.
And beforehand, it was critical of the decision.
And because of you remember last week, Josh Loon was saying. Ramirez was pitching to this batter, and this batter, the last time they faced each other, right?
Right.
The guy hit a home run.
Ramirez, right?
Right, Ramirez hit a home run. Whatever it was, the pitcher was Ramirez. And we're all sitting there going, how does Terry Collins not know that? How does Terry Collins not know that?
Right.
The discussion was kind of going that way.
Like, how do you not pinch hit him? How do you not
exactly.
take him out? You
how
got Walker on the bench.
How are you not prepared for
right.
this?
How is he not taking swings right now? You're right.
And then it turns out that, of course, you know, Walker does not get the bat and Gesellman walks.
Right.
You know?
In any event, the Mets have now won 3 out of 4. So if you are hanging on to the hope that maybe somehow the Mets turn around and can find themselves 500, you know, by the All-Star break, then it's something you got to consider, of course. Meanwhile, the New York Yankees took care of business against Oakland. And, of course, they run into a 3-2 loss yesterday. Meanwhile, you know, this Odell Beckham thing's heating up, boom, and it's a real problem. And missing the OTAs is now secondary to what the problem is. Now he's chirping, and they gotta put an end to it, because not only is he now hanging out with Chris Carter, who's now training him apparently in California, and Chris Carter came out and said, who do you think's a better coach, me or the Giants wide receivers coach?
The Giants wide receiver coach.
No, I'm a better coach than that guy.
But if you were, then somebody would hire you as a coach.
So that's the first thing. And then Odell Beckham tweets out and takes shots at his coach.
I know that.
I'm sorry. If you don't go to the voluntary OTAs, while it's a bad look, it's your right not to go. It's been negotiated by the union. You don't have to go. Olivier Vernon wasn't there either. Okay, fine. Not going and then taking public shots at your coaching staff are two completely separate things. If you want to excuse him not going, because maybe he is working out on his own, and he's got the benefit of access to great players, and he does not have to be there contractually, fine. But when you take a shot at Coach McAdoo for no reason at all, that's a problem.
Well, I think he's...
And I don't care how good you are, that's a problem.
For whatever reason, he's retweeting tweets that basically are taking Odell Beckham's side. Now... there's a lot to go through with this, all of this, and the matter of who is saying what. Like, since when did Chris Carter become the mouthpiece for Odell Beckham Jr.? Is not Odell Beckham Jr. a man? Doesn't he want to be treated like a man? Then act like a man and just say, hey, look, I'm working out here. I don't feel like I need to be there. You may not like it, but this is what I'm doing, and leave it at that.
Right.
But now the retweeting and everything else going on, and quite frankly, you know, if Chris Carter really wanted to mentor him, and I think I go back to Steve Serby's article last week where he said, basically, it's leadership, not leader skip. You know, pretty much every team has every player there. Some players don't participate in every single one. They might have a wedding they got to go to.
Sure.
Maybe they have to go somewhere else. Maybe they have an appearance. Maybe they're shooting a commercial. And they'll tell the coach, hey, look, coach, I got this. I can't make it. And the coach will begrudgingly say, hey, okay, I get it.
At least you told me.
Right, because the coach can't say anything both publicly or to the player that would get their team in trouble with the union, which ultimately the NFL then would have to sanction the team for some reason. And this has happened in the past. But the overall just lack of respect that I believe Odell Beckham Jr. is showing the New York Giants and the coaching staff is palatable. It's there. You could see it. You could feel it. Now, like I told you, if he catches 10 passes, 2 touchdowns, 200 yards – against the Dallas Cowboys, who cares?
No one's going to say boo.
Nobody's going to care. But you're trying to set a foundation for the team right now. You know, we used to have captain's practices in high school. God forbid you miss one of those things.
Right.
And those things are in the summertime where, you know, if you're doing it at certain North Shore high schools, kids are, you know, in Ireland playing golf, or they're on the Singali, you know, countryside.
They
going
got a lot
through,
of the things
whatever.
Going on.
You understand it, but you know, when I was a blue collar high school, you had to be where you had to be because the coach said you had to be there. So it's a mentality that we as football players kind of grow up with, and I'm really, really shocked that Odell Beckham Jr., given everything that has gone on with him and Josh Norman chirping again now,
right,
and all the crap about missing, you know, things that he's been paid to show up for and being late and holding kids. It's just, It really is a horrendous look.
Yep, it's bad. And listen, even retweeting stuff, you know, that the taking shots at the coach is stupid. Chris Carter coming out saying he's better off with me than he is with the Giant coaching staff is stupid.
This is the same Chris Carter who basically said you got to get yourself a posse to take the, you know, fall guys for you. Right. I mean, it's just like, I understand.
He's hanging out with the wrong people.
Look, Chris was a you know, a Hall of Fame player. He was a great wide receiver. He in turn had his own problems early on in his career, so he could probably be the one guy that could get a sense of what it's about and some of the troubles, but I don't necessarily know that Odell Beckham Jr. has had that kind of trouble.
Yep. Then you get the news we had last night, or I guess a night and a half ago, that Tiger Woods was pulled over for an alleged DUI. He did not take the test, so it's immediate suspension of your license and arrest. He was released at his own recognizance, but you know, obviously the quote-unquote fall from grace is pretty dramatic considering who he is, who he was, where he was, and all that stuff. And it's been about almost 10 years now, this steady decline on the course, off the course. The way people reacted, though, fascinates me. And I'll get to that in a minute, but obviously when you wake up and you hear the news, nothing surprises me anymore. Right, and he said he wasn't due to alcohol. He was mixing prescription pain or some type of medicine. He just had the back operated on. I don't know what it was. I don't know what it wasn't. I know that he was driving erratically, but according to the police, they said they smelled alcohol, and they probably saved someone's life by getting him off the road. And I'll leave it at that until we find out more. But you talk about a guy that's gone from, yo,
you read it. Mean, you read
on top of Everest.
Yeah, I don't think they gave him enough room because he could have. It looks like he could have continued to write about Tiger Woods. Read Mark Canizero today in the Post. I mean, it kind of captures, you know, I think what everybody is thinking right now this morning about Tiger.
Not everybody.
Well, I'm talking about in the sport. I don't know, the sports world.
There's some writers who think the entire Tiger Woods story is a referendum on Black America. Which I don't know how you make, I don't know where you're coming from in that one bit.
Well, I would have to read that.
Don't waste your time. That's okay. In the paper as well.
As opposed to?
It's this new columnist who's writing in the paper. I don't get that even a little bit. On any of it.
By the way, Mark kind of captures, I think, what most of us are thinking. Let's put it that way.
Right.
What most of us are thinking, that it's a sad fall from grace that continues to get, you know, worse and worse and worse. The further we move away from his best days as a golfer.
So. And then you have a story. We'll get to all these things throughout the day, and then we'll get your calls. We'll set you up with Jerry Recco. So a writer for the Denver Post got fired yesterday. Well, why did he get fired? Well, you may have seen that the Indianapolis 500 took place, as it always does, right?
Yeah.
And a Japanese driver was the winner of this year's Indianapolis 500. Great race, great event.
Tacoma Soto, I think, right? Or Tacoma?
So, Terry Fry, who used to write for the Denver Post, puts out on social media, very uncomfortable with a Japanese driver winning the Indy 500 on Memorial Day. Period. End of quotes. About 15 seconds later, he had sealed his deal and was fired by the Denver Post. And you wonder, like, before you hit send on that particular tweet.
What are you thinking about?
Are you thinking, are you saying like, all right, maybe I feel this way, but I'm not going to send that out?
You know, I often told you that my Uncle Alan was on the USS Nevada.
Yes.
During Pearl Harbor. My Uncle Alan also was a pilot for TWA. He also owned a Sunkist cooperative out in California where he sold oranges.
Yep.
And he just basically told the people that he was working with, as I understand the story, look, I don't want my oranges going to Japan. I can understand that because that man was on the Nevada. He was bombed, and he had a real problem with all of it. But here we are so many years later. I never even thought of what
Neither did I.
That idiot was talking about.
Yeah, well, he thought about it, he tweeted it, and he got fired for it.
Well, he probably should have.
Are you thinking even a little bit?
Doesn't make any sense at all.
So we got lots to do from Tiger to Odell.
Like, what was his personal connection to it? Did he have like a family member or something involved in World War II?
I don't know his whole background. I just know what he wrote. And I think he wrote it thinking he would pander to, I assume, you know, America.
Veterans or something.
I don't know what it was. I have no idea. But clearly out of touch and out of, well, out of a job.
Maybe he was on what Tiger was on.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
A lot of baseball on Memorial Day, as you would suspect. The day game in Baltimore for the Yankees and the Orioles. And the Yankees hurting themselves a little bit defensively.
3-0, chopped over the mound. Fielded by Castro, and he bobbled the ball. So Trumbo is on.
He was on, and a couple of batters later, Jonathan Scope made them pay.
Scope lines one down the right field line, and it is a fair ball into the corner. One run has scored. Here comes the second run, and they both score.
That is John Sterling on the Fan. Part of the Orioles beating the Yankees 3-2. Scope the two-run double there in the third. Mark Trumbo did have an RBI single in the first, and Dylan Bundy was tremendous. You talk about how bad the Oriole pitching is, and it's not great. Bundy is one that's doing quite well. Two-run ball for the victory, and the Yankees had a chance. Aaron Judge did another home run in this game. Came up in the ninth inning, but he was retired by Brad Brock. Here is Joe Girardi. So what happened on the Castro error that we just played?
Just, you know, it was a tough play. He was coming in. It looked like it might hit the bag. It's, you know, it's kind of a tricky play. But he's capable of making it.
And he did not make it. He also had a base running blunder.
Season for him. That's a bad mistake. And Brett Gardner, I think it was the third inning. Gardner's on second, boom, nobody out. Yeah. And he tries to steal third.
Now, he was trying to tag up. And I thought, I didn't think it was a bad play. I mean, it's Trey Mancini, I think, in
right.
left field.
Well, you're on second base, you're going to score on a hit anyway.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It's an aggressive play. I don't
the
mind that.
The throw had to be perfect,
and it was.
And but you're
inches.
Right. You're right, but the point is,
you also have to know who you are. You're one of the fastest guys the Yankees got, right?
Sure.
So you're going to score on pretty damn near any base hit.
You would think so.
That being said, do you like aggressive play? Yes, you do.
Especially when you're in first place. I think Yankees, for the most part, you know, 85% of their games, everything's perfect, right? So when you take a look at this, though, however, you know, it's Buck Showalter. He had to stop the bleeding.
Buck Showalter, 3.5 games out of first.
They had to stop the bleeding. I know that, and that's why it's so important to get your team inspired to step up and win
inspired?
And beat the Yankees.
They lost every game for a week.
Well, they were inspired by the Yankees.
We talk about the Mets and their batting averages, and I didn't realize this until watching the game yesterday.
Yeah.
You realize Chris Davis is batting about 220, and he struck out a million times in the last 3 weeks. And Manny Machado's batting 215.
Oh, that sucks. Let me get a violin and cry for Manny Machado. Everybody thinks he's
going to be the next third baseman of the Yankees, but I don't agree with that. I think Starlin Castro is going to be the next third baseman of the Yankees.
What's he batting? 330.
Because Chase Headley all of a sudden has stopped hitting. And guess who's coming up? Guess who will be coming up?
Yeah, my main man.
Right.
How you doing?
What is that?
That's my violin.
The violins for the Orioles.
Like, I'm worried about the Orioles. It's too
bad. I didn't know. That wasn't my point. I was just saying there are other teams that have struggled a little bit, like the Mets.
I think the Mets offensively the last seven or eight games have been unbelievable.
Absolutely. No doubt. So we can get to them.
Expecting 5 runs a game now.
Oh, is that right?
The 0-2 to Conforto.
Swing and a drive to right. That's a base hit over the glove of the first baseman, Aguilar. Headed to the warning track. In to score, Rivera. Conforto digging for second. He's in standing with a double on an 0-2 pitch.
That is Howie Rose on WOR. Good old hard,
Mike Gordo is killing it. Meanwhile, your boy Cespedes now has a quad problem.
Well, he was running very hard.
Oh, a quad. He had a hamstring problem.
Yeah.
Now his quad's banged up. Yeah, see in July.
Oh, Sandy Alderson said hopefully next week in Texas where he can DH a couple of games.
Oh, goody.
So maybe 7 to 10 days. But you're right, that was Harry Rose on WOR. Mets did beat the Brewers 4-2. Robert Gesellman, he goes 7 innings for the win. He allows 2 runs, only 1 earned. 3 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. The 100 run came after an Estrubel Cabrera error. Now, the media was going to Collins and saying, remember when you pulled him the last start against the Padres, the 84 pitches?
Yes,
you can't go any
feel good.
Right, exactly.
You walk that fine line of, you know, what's the most important thing here? You know, trying to stretch him a little too much or let him feel good about himself.
And so he was then asked, but remember, like, you get killed for late decisions like that.
You know, you take the body blows. That's what this job's about.
He's right.
You know, so I do my ab work every day so that I can get through it all. Boy.
I don't know if you heard me telling Craig this morning, Jerry, that, you know, Ronnie Darling was talking about this yesterday, and he was going, you know, they had the bases loaded. It was 2 outs, and Gesellman was up. And there was that moment in the game.
Yeah.
Do you pull the guy and put Neil Walker in? Because you had a left-handed, you know, guy sitting on the bench going up against a right-handed pitcher.
That was the 6th, wasn't it? When they were going to keep him in and he pitched an extra inning? Or was it the fifth inning?
No. It might have been the sixth. I think it was the sixth inning.
I thought
it was
so.
It was the bottom of the sixth.
Yep.
So he already went through six innings is what we're saying here.
Right.
You know, and Ronnie was pointing out, you know, this is what I would have done. Now, it worked out because Gesellman worked out a walk.
Which, by the way, he struck out twice.
Yes.
they called balls on a couple pitches.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Him.
Yeah, but he got a little lucky. So it worked out for Terry this time.
Agreed. It did. It worked out, and they got the win.
But play the other side for a minute. Let's say the umpire does actually call strike three,
now
which we all
whole,
think it was.
Now it's a whole different thing.
So now, instead of scoring that run, you don't score that run, right?
Right.
Now, again, listen, the pitching actually came up big in the seventh, in the eighth, and the ninth. But other than Reed, you're letting the first two guys on.
Yeah. But, dude, that's...
But if you're up a run in the ninth versus two runs in the ninth, that changes the whole spectrum of those first two singles against Addison Reed to start the ninth.
Agreed.
Assuming everything would have gone exactly the same, of course.
You're exactly right. But it worked out, and they get the win. You mentioned
even the Mets got to get one a break every now and then, right? It's like a blind squirrel, no?
Well, I don't know about a blind squirrel. They just took two out of three in Pittsburgh, so they're starting
squirrel.
To play.
It should have been three out of three. It should have been three out of three. Oh, my God.
They owned that game until the last couple innings where they just give it away.
Addison Reed is just
Tyler Pill pitched in that game. He will get the start tonight.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Is that right? Tyler Pill?
Yes, his
just
first major league start.
Just when you thought you were
going
to get to four games under .500.
Hey,
you
wanted young guys up here. They're up here.
Yep. There you go.
I hope Tyler Pill pitches well.
I keep hearing Met fans tell me, bring another young guy up. I want to give him a chance. I don't need to watch this crap anymore. All right, so here you go. Here's another young guy.
Here comes Tyler Pill. So he will take on Zach Davies later tonight. Then you had the brouhaha, as Al called it earlier, in San Francisco between the Nationals and the Giants. You have Hunter Strickland facing Bryce Harper.
Straight up on the right side of the infield, the left side toward the middle. And the pitch inside hit him. And Harper just pointed out. Harper's charging the mound. And he throws the helmet. And now there's a fist fight. Harper's landed a couple of blows, and now the dugouts have emptied. They've been separated. Strickland was knocked down. Harper was still on his feet, and Harper had no doubt that Strickland threw at him.
Charlie Slows on Nationals radio.
Harper's got some unbelievable hair.
He does.
Great hair.
And he threw a nice right, too.
He could have a haircut and cover both yours and Al's head with a full head
no
of hair.
No doubt about it. By the way, both those guys threw legit punches and
they
both
did.
Connected.
And they both
it was
landed.
Nice.
Here and then the best is your boy, Jeff Samardzija, comes running on the field.
With Morse.
Doink. Boomer comes running on the field and collides and knocks his own guy down.
Yeah, but you got to love that's the football player in him.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, you'll see Samardzija coming from the left side after the
I
two.
I think it was Michael Morse, the other guy.
Here comes Samardzija. Boink.
It's actually very funny. Well, here is Strickland. Of course, he goes with the old, there was no intent.
You know, obviously, I've left the ball over the plate a couple of times to him, and he's taken advantage of that. So just mostly go inside, and obviously, I got it in a little bit too far.
There was intent because there was bad blood ever since he gave up the second of the two home runs to Harper, because Harper, they showboated a little bit and then was cursing at him from the dugout. I assume it's the first time you've seen him since.
I think it is.
And
why are they grabbing his leg?
Well, because they're trying to get him off the field.
His teammates were trying to grab his leg.
Yeah. In any event, that's why you have to love Bryce Harper.
Here's Harper. Right? What was he thinking when he was charging the mound?
I was trying to go after him. I mean, I with a helmet or, you know, just myself and just trying to, you know, do what I needed to do to, you know, just keep it going, I guess.
Now,
I don't know.
He didn't throw it at him. He threw it down.
He threw it to the side.
Right, but here's the thing. One of these days, if I'm a batter, I'm picking up the ball and throwing it at
you. This happened in a minor league game over the weekend. There was a brawl. Player comes out of the dugout, picks up a baseball, and throws it at the guy from about 10 feet away. Hit the guy in the leg.
Well, there you go. How
do
you like it?
Well, he does have a glove on. He can catch it.
he's right in front of him.
The guy's throwing a 95-mile-an-hour fastball at his waist.
I will say this. That was intent to hit, and he hit him.
Yep.
Unlike, you know, a lot of these, like the thing that went on between, the Red Sox and the Orioles, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean,
a couple weeks ago.
You throw him behind him
seven
times.
That was Machado
times.
Was involved
Machado
in that. Yeah.
Hit him.
The whole thing with Petroia and all that stuff.
Now, Addison Reed would have missed him three times and then hit him. But,
Addison Reed would have laid it over the plate and would have gotten hit out of this park.
And anyway, that was good to see. Right, that's the first. When's the last time you saw a baseball alleged fight in which dudes threw punches at Connecticut.
Ned Odor and Jose Bautista.
My man.
Right
Odor,
in the face. That
right
was it.
The Grilski.
A couple other quickies from baseball. Mike Trout out 2 months or so. Surgery for ligament damage in his thumb. Found that after the Braves beat the Angels 6-3. And the Astros were 0-659 in their franchise history when trailing by 6 runs or more entering the 7th inning. They came back and scored 11 runs, I think it was, in the 7th or 8th inning, and they beat the Twins 16-8. So they're now 1-659. So that's kind of cool. kind of neat anyway. From what else? For the hockey last night. So there were 11 shots on goal for the game.
For the game.
For the game by the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Stop.
But they wind up beating the Predators.
Penguins have it. Gensel down the right side. Shoots. Scores! Jake Gensel from the right wing circle. Give Pittsburgh the lead again. 4-3. Oh, I just want to see a silly seal sliding sideways. In Sausalito.
That's Mike Lang, Penguins Radio. I guess the official number would be 12 because the last goal was an empty net goal. But Pecorine faced just 11 shots.
Four goals on 11 shots.
Right, yes. So they scored 3 in the first period. As a matter of fact, Nashville started the game by scoring. A PK Subban shot was scored, but then that was overturned because Philip Forsberg was ruled offside, which he was. And so that goal was taken off the scoreboard. And then Pittsburgh scored the next 3 goals. And I mean, and 2 of the goals were just, well, 1 of the goals was just like a freak, you know, deflection that went in.
So Predators did come back to
11 shots on goal.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, but get the, how about the Predators? The Predators had, what, 26 total shots on goal. Give them credit for coming all the way back to
freaking
tie.
Boomer.
Penguins wound up winning 5-3. Awesome. And Tiger Woods did release the statement Monday night saying alcohol was not a factor in his DUI arrest early Monday morning. Instead, a bad mixture of prescription drugs.
Well, listen, say what you, whatever you want to say, right?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a blood toxicology report because he refused to take a breathalyzer.
Right.
Which is your right, and it means an immediate suspension of license and arrest, because then there's the assumption that you had, you were under the influence of something. He did admit he was at least on, you know, prescription drugs, if nothing else, right? But you're just happy that, thankfully, he didn't drive his car into somebody or cause a wreck or hurt anyone else that was driving. But I'll say this. I don't know what happened. I'm not going to guess what happened. But I do know that he got pulled over at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
He's out doing something.
Not thinking.
I'm just saying, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're either going to some specific place or you're coming home from a specific place, right?
Right.
You ain't going for a leisurely drive.
You're not going out to buy
at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you're not going to get the donuts at Dunkin' Donuts.
Right. You either were going somewhere or coming back from somewhere, right?
Right.
Like, maybe you didn't feel like sleeping over. But I always wonder, when you're Tiger Woods, well, I guess I should stop wondering. Like, how could you be that stupid, right?
That's right.
Like, he got behind the wheel, and at some level had to say to himself, I don't know how far the drive was where he was going. I know he got picked up near his house. A to B, I can make A to B. I got that. It's 3 in the morning. No one else is on the road. I can get home.
Except for the cops.
Essentially, that's what he's saying, right?
Right.
And according to the police report I saw, he was, I mean, all over the road. It wasn't like he was speeding. He was erratic. So if you told me he was doing 60 and a 40, all right, I get it. But the guy apparently was all over the road. That wasn't a case of, you're going a little too fast.
And it's obvious the cop has no choice but to arrest him.
I'm glad he pulled him over.
I mean, he had no choice but to.
Right.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Mana, the meatloaf! That's disappointed him. That's very unacceptable. Your behavior is despicable.
Perfect.
Yeah. So it's funny to me how he must have nothing else to write about, I suppose, because he took a shot at you.
Yes.
For not commenting on a story last week. Like, there's a story that you may have seen, you know, at the Yankee game when a bat flew into the stands and it hit a kid.
A kid, yeah.
Right. Now, it's a story that we didn't talk about at all on the show. We didn't reference it once. And Putz was upset that you did not give your opinion on it, because in April of 2015, more than 2 years ago, we had commented on the story of the gal that was sitting behind home plate, who was, I guess, on her phone or whatever she was doing, or getting food or whatever, and a ball came and hit the screen and then hit her in the head. And she was taking the stretcher out, blah, blah, blah. And we commented on that at the time. And now 2 years later, we don't comment at all on a story, and he's very upset with you.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's got to be something else to write.
Sorry, I can't live up to his expectations.
Yeah, I mean, you would think if you had Memorial Day weekend, you had the guy in Denver getting fired for the anti-Japanese thought. You had, you know, all the Odell stuff. You had the baseball stuff. You had the Bryce Harper stuff, right?
Yeah.
You had maybe, I don't know, an ode, you know, to veterans in the military. I don't know, maybe you didn't yesterday at 3 o'clock, participate in the Stay Silent and put your phones down as a way of all honoring the men and women we've lost and who've dedicated their lives to us over the years. But no, now we're concocting. He's a concoctor.
Yes.
Have you ever been a concoctor before?
You've already spent way too much time on it.
Yeah, but I have to
reference
it.
You just wasted a good 30 seconds of airtime.
Concocting. He's a, you know, remember the rapper, I'm a lyrical gangster, word him up. Yeah. He's a literary concoctor, douchey.
Ma, the meatloaf!
There you go. I always wonder, like, I think I'd be a great columnist.
You think
and
so?
I don't say that ego at all.
As evidenced by what he writes and how much he writes, it's hard to come up with new trains of thought.
No, it's not, though.
Well, maybe for you it wouldn't be, but for him it obviously is.
I don't know why it's so hard. It seems pretty easy. Like, having a unique new opinion on, I mean, God knows there's enough stuff thrown at you that you can react to, right?
I would think around here, yes.
Yeah. Then you have this moron. Another guy in the paper today.
All right, now who is this person now?
I never heard of him before. I'm sure
he appreciates you now bringing him to light.
I won't say his name then.
What paper is it?
This is why I don't like reading the newspaper.
What paper is it?
I get nothing out of the Daily News. I get nothing out of the newspaper. I have not gotten anything out of the newspaper in a long, long time on this show.
Is it more fake news?
No, it's not fake news.
Okay,
it's,
what is it?
I try to understand sometimes,
yes.
And maybe I'm guilty of it. You could say you don't understand where I'm coming from in my opinions, I suppose,
right,
from time to time. But, you know, Tiger Woods is a very big story right now. Tiger Woods getting pulled over for DUI, although he says he wasn't drinking. He says he was on, you know, prescription medicine. Tiger Woods got pulled over for driving under the influence of something. We don't know what it was, but we know that he was driving erratically, and he got arrested for it, right?
Right.
This is what we know. Now, when you hear that story, Boom,
yes.
When you read that story,
yes.
Just give me the first thought that comes immediately to mind. Give me anything.
I'm sad. I'm sad for him.
Good. Eddie Scazzeri, when you first heard the story about Tiger Woods, and I don't care what it is, this has not been talked about before the show, this is totally organic and real, just give me a thought that came to mind.
Classic fall from grace.
Classic fall from grace. Bang. Sad. Classic fall from grace. Al Dukes, give me something.
I immediately thought that his other big incident happened on the holiday, and this was a holiday.
Some type of holiday connection.
Holiday
to bad
troubles.
Things.
Yes.
Right? I thought among those three things, the first thing I thought was, I'm glad they got him before he hurt someone. And the second thing I thought was, he's really hit rock bottom. Right?
I don't know if this is rock bottom. I thought Thanksgiving was rock bottom.
Maybe this is a new rock. Maybe the rocks have new bottoms. I don't know.
Maybe this is the sandy bottom.
So I decided after the long weekend, let me actually read the newspaper. I don't know why I decided that, but I decided okay. I'm going to read the newspaper today.
Right.
I typically don't like to read the whole newspaper because there's nothing in it for me to glean for this show. So instead, I open up the paper, Boom. Of all the things that you could say about Tiger Woods being pulled over and getting a DUI, the one thing I never thought of, perhaps it's because of the shoes I walk in, I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
I never thought that you could relate that story to his relationship with, and I'm quoting now, Black America. That I never put those two things together. That Tiger Woods being pulled over under the influence was in some weird way, shape, or form some type of referendum on his relationship or lack thereof with Black America.
Was he more relatable to Asian America?
I don't know.
I'm just.
But we're in trouble. If that's the first thing you think of when Tiger Woods gets pulled over for a DUI, that it's too late for him to try to get the support of Black America, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, I don't know.
How is that the first thing that comes to mind?
I don't know, man. And well, you're talking about... You know,
I'm not even saying his name. I don't want to say his name.
I did just earlier, though. You were talking about how, you know, there's so much stuff out there for you to write about.
There's plenty
and
of stuff.
There's a lot of inspirational stuff out there. Maybe this inspired this writer to write about what he deems as a problem. And I don't know. Is Tiger looking for help from Black America?
I don't know that he was asking.
I don't know.
I'm not sure that he ever talked about it. But the fact that that's the rhetoric... So, okay,
but what is the underlying agenda to be gained from writing something like that? I mean, there's got to be something there.
I don't know. I can't figure it out myself. I mean, it's fascinating.
Is it because he wasn't politically active, or was it because he plays a, you know, what is considered a
when white, Black America wipes their hands clean of you, they do it for good.
What does that mean?
So when days like that today happen...
So this is a spokesperson for Black America? Okay.
We just shrug our shoulders, shake our heads, and keep it moving. Why? Because Tiger Woods sold us a dream, and we all bought it. And since it's too late to get our money back, it's too late for him to try to get our support when he needs it most. What? Why does he need your support? He needs a doctor's support more than anything, right? That's why I take this newspaper. It's why very few people to no one ever reads it. And I rip it up because the few times I'd sighed, all right, today'll be the day. Maybe there'll be something that's thought-provoking. Maybe something that'll actually move me in a positive way. Maybe a thought that I respect that I never thought of before.
Well, Frank, I saw it moved you in a positive way, doesn't it?
But no. Tell Frank I apologize. Okay. But this, it's like 47 pages. That's not even worth the bottom of my kid's gerbil cage. Yeah. Right in the garbage.
Are they supporting the speaker of the city council and the mayor marching in the Puerto Rican Day
That's
parade?
Why nobody reads the papers no more. Because you're all out of touch. Out of touch. That's why, you know, the... KFC Barstools of the world are the leaders of a new generation of young men and women who actually understand what people want to talk about. That's why we're successful, because we understand. Our finger's on the pulse.
Plus, they're entrepreneurial.
Well, I'm just saying.
They're trying to make it. They're actually trying to make money.
Today about Tiger Woods, yes. There's 500 things to write, whether they be funny, you know, dramatic, emotional, sad, whatever it is. That ain't one of them. Say that right now. And then let me give you one other random thought while I'm on this.
Yeah, why don't you do that? It seems like you're on a rant right now.
I want you to bring up Boom, if you may.
Yes.
I want you to, I don't know if you have the ability to do this on your computer.
Okay.
So I'll take some liberties here for you, okay?
Okay. Well, what would you like me to do?
I want you to bring up a picture of Gesellman.
Yeah.
And I want you to put it right next to a picture of DeGrom. All right? I want DeGrom's face next to Gesellman's face.
Well, I don't think I can do that.
All right? I want you to take a look at him.
Well, there's...
You got him up there?
Well, here you go, right there.
You got him?
Yeah, there they are.
Okay. I'm of the belief that if Jacob DeGrom robbed a bank and you arrested Gesellman for the crime, you could convince a jury that he was the guy that did it.
Yeah, they kind of look alike, yeah.
They're dead ringers. Wow. If you take the mustache and beard off Gesellman or put it on DeGrom, you are talking about separated at birth. How about that?
Let's just hope Gesellman keeps pitching like DeGrom.
Look at right there on our TV screen.
Yep.
That's the same dude.
It's not the same dude. It looks alike, but...
That is the same guy.
Jacob DeGrom's the man.
Meaning that there's a chance DeGrom is Gesellman. How about you ever thought of that?
DeGrom the Gesellman.
They're both righties, right?
How about you go the Gesellman?
Gesellman pitches after DeGrom, never pitches as well. You know why? Because DeGrom's a little tired. Could they be the same guy?
You never know.
It's certainly possible. But have you ever noticed the look-alike there or no?
They got the long hair and they got the facial hair.
No, you never picked up on it. They are twins. Yes, okay. Al?
The other thing I noticed this weekend is Gesellman, when he was all in the camouflage uniform,
yeah,
he looked like one of those Duck Dynasty dudes.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit, because the facial stuff.
Facial, the long hair.
The out-of-control hair. Yeah, he could, or like one of them Last Frontier in Alaska families, which, by the way, I didn't realize, that's Jules' dad. Did you know that? You ever see that show, the that family that is like the last family in Alaska?
Yeah, okay. What about
and
it?
And they live off the land. And they got this one guy who's like the patriarch of the crew.
Yeah.
It's Jewel's dad.
Jewel the singer.
And yeah, Jewel the singer. Mm. And he's this big. No muscle on him at all, doesn't seem like. And that guy just builds stuff and creates stuff and lives like a man. Must smell terrible, don't you think?
I would think so.
Yeah. Here's Mike in Red Bank on the fan. Hey, Mike, what do you got, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Mike.
How you doing, Mike? What's happening?
Boomer, congrats on your Terrapins winning the lacrosse championship.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Mike.
I was wondering if you guys happened to take a look at that brawl. If you looked in the background at Buster Posey standing on home plate with his hands at his side doing absolutely nothing the entire fight.
Yeah, I saw him sitting there. You know, I was wondering, like, did he want to get involved in that melee and get hurt? You know, because he got hurt.
He's had his moments
and everything else. You're exactly right.
He makes
right.
no
he just
attempt to go
right
get
there.
Him, though.
He's
that's
the
a good
guy
point.
Out of everybody that should be involved. He's got all the equipment on.
Well, he's starting to run out there. He actually delays, punches are thrown, and then he gets right in the middle of it.
Well, it's a good
and
point,
then,
though.
And then he's behind it. But you see,
he doesn't go till the Giants come running out of their dugout.
But, you know, the interesting thing is I'm wondering if Buster Posey was at bat and Buster Posey got hit with a ball, kind of like Bryce Harper got hit with the ball.
Right.
And Buster Posey went after the opposing, you know, pitcher.
Right.
I mean, do you think, like, there's, like, a sense that I got to let him go because we hit him?
Well, listen, he stands there and watches and as the helmet gets thrown. He's not going to do nothing. But then when the Giants come out of the dugout, he runs towards them.
Yes.
He never makes a beeline towards his own pitcher
Bryce Harper. I'm sure somebody must have asked him something about that.
Interesting, though. Meanwhile, the New York Yankees take another series as they beat Oakland. And the New York Mets have now won 3 out of 4. We'll get into all the local baseball. And your thoughts, Boomer, on Aaron Judge hitting 2 more home runs over the weekend. 17 now leading the league. And yes, hit a grand slam where? At home, about 15 feet away from the judge's chambers.
But it wasn't in the
judge's
chambers.
You ain't got nothing to say now, do you?
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Because he's a school teacher. I don't know if you knew that. And he teaches, or he taught at least this past fall, a very specific class. He had 10 kids in his class. And all he taught them was how to do the Rubik's Cube.
Really?
Yeah, so I think it's great. Now, he's got 5 kids of his own.
We like Ryan.
The local school district asked him, you have to do some stuff with them. He apparently knows how to solve a Rubik's Cube.
That
so they took
me.
10 kids.
Good for him.
And they had a Ryan Fitzpatrick Rubik's Cube class. And to show you that there's some good in the world, right?
Yes.
Well, some guys don't show up for things. He went to the OTAs, got on a plane at his own expense, flew to New Jersey, went to an elementary school, and finished his obligation to the children.
We like Ryan.
See that?
Yes.
Good guy, that Ryan Fitzpatrick. Horrendous quarterback, but good guy. Shows you that, like, some people just know how to solve the Rubik's Cube. I'm not among those people.
I would figure one side. See, I would figure you would be a guy that would be able to do that.
There's a code. It's like some mathematical code where if you do X number of steps the same exact way, like 20 times, it automatically finishes the cube.
I could do that thing for about a year straight and I would not get it.
I'm with you 100% on that. You know who else can do the Rubik's Cube? Justin Bieber.
I'm sure there's a YouTube video now. You could just
there is. It's impossible to
heard,
find.
Justin Bieber was out. Justin Bieber was out in the Hamptons, drinking rosé wine out there at Wolfer Estate.
Is that right?
Yeah, giving hugs to people and stuff.
Nice. I'd like to get a hug from Justin Bieber.
He's been out there with Jimmy Fallon or something.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That must be some party out there.
Oh
boy.
Yeah.
Here's Jerry Recco. Hi, Jerry.
Well, good morning. Brought to you by Bernie and Campisi Air Conditioning. Keep cool and visit BernieandCampisi.com. Started with the Yankees last hour. This hour, we start with the Mets. And Robert Gsellman, who made the start for New York, opened up a series with Milwaukee, a 4 o'clock start yesterday. He went 7 innings. He allows 1 earned run, 2 runs overall, and even helped himself out on the bases.
Cabrera at third. Flores at second. Rivera at first. They'll all be running. 3-2. forces in a run. How about that?
How about that? Gary Cohen on SNY, that was in the sixth inning, put the Mets ahead 4-2. 4-2 was the final. He also had himself a sac fly and an RBI earlier in the game, in and around RBI doubles for Rene Rivera and Michael Conforto. Terry Collins says, good day for Gesellman.
That's the guy we saw last year. That's the guy we know he can be. He threw the ball very well.
And so Paul Sewald would finish it out with Addison Reed. Sewald the eighth inning. Reed would allow back-to-back singles to open the ninth and strike a couple of guys out and then get out of it. Now, Jerry Blevins was not available.
Why is that? Pregnant?
He's tired of warming up.
Oh. Pitched the night before, and the night before that he got up and got ready, and the night before that he got up and got ready. So he just needed to, he came in today and said, I need a day.
I get it, though, but, you know, that's
I got to be honest.
Oh, come on,
I don't
man.
Get it, and here's why I don't get it. They put the graphic up. They put the graphic up during the game about all these appearances. Jerry Blevins leads the league in appearances, right? 27 innings pitched, or whatever. Excuse me, 27 appearances, and then you look at the innings pitched, 22 and a third.
Yeah, nothing.
Which means he's coming in for an out. Or for two outs. He's not going in there and pitching two innings every time.
Before he comes in there, though, he's got to warm up and he's out in the bullpen. I'm just saying. So he goes to the manager. Hey, I need a day. I need a day.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, he's got outings.
I got to be honest with you,
Jerry. That shouldn't be public.
I don't want to make a big deal out of this because it's not really that big of a deal. But, you know, the guy is out there working out every single day, and he's out there, and, you know, they don't know whether they're going to use him or they're not going to use him.
Right.
And he's still warming up, throwing hard pitches.
But how many pitches do you think he warms up doing?
I'm figuring 25, 30.
I know. I mean, Terry Collins yesterday, at some point he said that he stood up and threw 9 or 10 pitches to get ready. Come on. I mean, he's tired. Like, an outing for him could literally be come in and get this lefty, throw 4 pitches, go take a shower.
And go sit down. Oh, no, my arm's killing me. I can't do it mentally.
I'll just say it's 3 days in a row. It's not like he took a day off or he wasn't involved. I mean, 3 days in a row, he's up in the bullpen and he's throwing. And maybe his arm's a little tired and they just want to be careful. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it.
Tyler Pill will take on Zach Davies tonight.
Pill making his first major league start.
He did pitch Saturday night in Pittsburgh. Then there are the Yankees, who were down 3-2 late, but ultimately could not find their way back.
Two outs, no one on here in the top of the ninth. 3-2 Birds. The 0-2 struck him out swinging. Ball game over. Baltimore wins.
Yeah, Didi Gregorius strikes out to end it after Aaron Judge had struck out. And the Orioles win the game 3-2. Joe Girardi, thoughts when Judge was hitting in the ninth?
We got a shot. You know, you look at the guys coming up, you still got a shot. But Brock made some really good pitches on him.
Now, Brad Brock, who got the save. Darren O'Day pitched the eighth inning. We talked earlier about the play Brett Gardner trying to tag up from second base on a fly ball to left field earlier in the game in the third. Here was Joe Girardi.
Yeah, you know, from our scouting reports, you know, we got that as being an okay play.
It just didn't work out. He was thrown out of the third.
Thing that nobody really talks about, the scouting reports and the game plans going into these games, which obviously Joe Girardi is, you know, he knows probably better than most because he always plays
by the book,
right?
No, but I'll say this. Even though it seems like it's a silly play because he's thrown out, you know, by a matter of an inch or two, the reality is at least it was an informed decision they're making, right?
That's a good answer.
Right. Right, as opposed to saying, I know he went on his own. He's always got the green light. He goes, look, obviously we had talked about it. We don't think that guy's got a great arm. Gardy is one of our fastest players.
Yes.
And you know what? We told him if you had a chance, go. That means you're prepared.
And it
doesn't
always
work out your way, but that means they're at least mentally, the Yankees are all in.
I thought that answer told you everything you needed to know. That was our scouting report. This is what we were going to do, and this is our game plan. And sometimes the other team makes the play to get in the way of that.
Just like our softball team. We're always mentally, we know what's up.
When do you think they tell Gardner, you can run on this guy?
He knows it in advance.
And speaking of running, how is your ankle?
Not good, Boomer.
He's done for the year.
Are you done for the year?
In fact, I wanted to ask you, it's been about 2 weeks now, and I'm still all swolled up. You're not a doctor, but you've seen injuries.
Yeah, I know that. But have you been putting like ice on it, and have you been doing any like you know putting your foot up in the air at night when you're watching
that,
your iPad?
Yeah, I'd put the foot up.
Yeah,
he can't. He's done.
Do I have to go see a doctor?
Yes, I would say if it's still swollen. Yes.
So who will be back first, Cespedes or Al?
I don't know. So you're not playing Thursday, but you'll be there.
He'll be there. Yes.
Well, that's the question.
I think you need to be there.
I don't think he's coming.
Maybe that's the whole reason why. Maybe he's trying to get out of...
I could show you my leg.
We have a game Thursday in Sleepy Hollow at DeVries Field against Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball. His team.
And the Cuban national team.
Which typically does not work out well for us. Yeah. That being said, Al's not playing in the game. But much like Jerry Reagor didn't play last week, Jerry showed up and stayed the entire game because he's all in. Al, will you be there on Thursday?
I suppose so. If Jerry will be there, I'll have to be there then as well.
I didn't have to ask Jerry. I knew Jerry would be there.
I love when these guys just actually go after the athletes for not playing.
Al, is there a chance you're going to play?
No chance,
I got what David Wright has. How's he doing?
I may have a fracture.
Wow, look at this. A fracture?
Possible.
You're comparing yourself to David Wright. You got an alleged fracture.
I have the same injury.
Well, no two back injuries are exactly the same.
It's stenosis.
Yes, but there's many different types of stenosis.
Okay. I have advanced stenosis. What does David Wright have?
I don't know what he's got.
Well, it's stenosis.
Is that the same thing you have?
Yes.
Seems like it's a lot different since he is a professional athlete.
I don't think it is different. I can't stand up for 5 minutes.
Is that right?
Yeah, you
know
that.
Why don't you do something about it?
Because, sir, I'm not having surgery. I'm good.
You're not good.
You're good. You're not good.
If you can't stand for 5 minutes, how are you good?
How about therapy? Can we go through some therapy?
I go to my friend Mike Mullaney, a physical therapist.
Let me ask you another question.
Yeah.
Could you do...
Big Mike putting his meat hooks all over you?
Could you do downward facing dog?
Yeah, that one hurts.
That hurts.
It does.
Could you do a plank?
Yes.
That doesn't bother you at all?
No, plank's what I'm supposed to do.
Interesting.
Tighten the core.
Tightening that core up.
Well, give me like a natural movement that the rest of the normal people do where you like truly could not do that. It's considerable pain.
I can't stand up and have a conversation in one spot for 5 minutes.
True. Next update.
What's that?
I'd like you to do the 8:30 update standing
up. I will
up.
Not do that.
And let's see how long you can make it.
No.
And then when you can't make it anymore,
why would I
do
that?
Sit down immediately.
Why would I do that?
Because I'm fascinated by your pain.
So you want to see me in pain?
No, I want to see how it manifests itself.
Like in the dugout for these kids games that I coach, I sit on a bucket of balls because I can't go coach first. When I do coach first base, when I'm an assistant, I'm on my knees. So that doesn't sound good.
I would please retract that.
I have to take a knee at first base. I don't stand up for the inning. I can't.
For children.
For the children.
You're on your knees. It's
coaching first base.
Maybe you're pitching from your knees.
I do not
pitch.
That's
a good way we should do it, by the way.
I have my coach Anthony pitches because I can't.
Maybe it's time not to coach.
No. We just won a one-day championship on Saturday.
I think we have to do something about the back.
I went and pulled this.
Let's see this because Boone and I have never witnessed this. Next update started standing up.
No.
And let's just see where it goes.
No.
How quickly you
I'm
have to
all
sit
in,
down.
But not for physical pain. I'm
no,
out.
No, but as soon as you feel an inch of pain, you sit right down.
No.
I want to see how long it
is. Is it pain or fatigue?
It's pain.
Yeah.
Been dealing with it for
if
40
someone
years.
Punched
and where is
would
the
hurt?
Pain?
Lower
is it
back.
Lower back.
Yeah.
You know, there's boom,
absolutely.
It's sciatica.
I have that too.
That's all that is.
You know, that's when it goes down the leg. That's just awesome.
Hypochondriac. That's all that is.
I have an MRI in my bag I can show you.
I'm thinking what we should do is we should just have like a...
what do you travel with an MRI for?
In case you ever...
I'd like to see
think
it.
I'm...
That's I'll fine. Jerry's bag, please.
Go in my bag.
I'd love to see
you
the
carry
MRI.
The MRI around
because of
with
him.
You?
In a specific situation like this, if he's going to question me, I can pop the MRI.
Let's see what else,
Are they recommending surgery or anything?
No, the doctor says.
No, they recommend he be in pain while he's
standing
up.
The doctor has recommended I lose 15 pounds, which is true.
Well, get out
of
here,
you
lazy bastard.
Yeah. Well,
what else you got?
What else we got? We got the Nationals and the Giants. You had the brawl, of course, Bryce Harper and Hunter Strickland. They get into it. Here's how it sounded on Giants radio.
So here is Bryce Harper, two down, nobody on. Harper is 0-for-3. Look out, he gets hit. And Strickland, and now Harper's going to go out. He's... throws his helmet to the ground, and they start throwing punches. There's a right to the jaw, left to the jaw from Strickland, and both benches empty, and now there's a big pile out there.
John Miller.
That two punches connected, one from each guy, like legit connected. Neither guy seemed to be affected by it.
No, not at all. Also, it wasn't a punch. It was kind of a...
Like it was like a knockdown. Bottom of the palm.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Look on the outside flap, I believe. I have Jerry's
travel bag here.
It's either on the where your right hand is or your left hand. It's actually outside the bag in the flap.
Jerry travels with a lot of cool stuff, Booms.
I do?
Yeah. I'm inside Jerry's bag here. Sandwich?
Sandwich.
What kind of sandwich?
Turkey.
Let's see what we got.
Oh, come on. You're going to eat my sandwich? Here's the deal. Hold on.
Yeah.
You open that. You're buying me a new sandwich.
I'm just going to open it.
Right.
I'm gonna, look at that. That is a nice sandwich.
It's a good-looking
nice
sandwich.
Very nice sandwich.
Got a Wonder Bread, one slice of lettuce,
yeah,
and one slice of turkey.
Yes.
Very economical, by the way.
Yes.
Appreciate that. We have in here, okay, your Under Armour shades.
Always have them for the ride home.
Have them, Booms.
Yep.
For the ride home, so the glare don't get you on the turnpike.
Gotcha, baby.
Right? Love those sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what else do we have here? We have...
Oh, those are blueberries.
Look at this. Shh.
There's nothing in there.
I ate them.
He's incubating something.
It was a blueberries.
Empty blueberries.
Yeah.
I do not see, however, your MRI.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, as this? I said, it would be.
Carrots.
I have carrots.
Little bag of carrots.
A little like, baby carrots.
Like it's
That's
Halloween.
Good, yeah. It's nice.
And each kid gets a little bag of baby carrots. Happy Halloween, Boomer.
That's in place of the potato chips.
Okay.
Carrots and
stuff. Smart.
Oh, that's a marital aid, okay.
You jackass.
I don't carry
Where
that.
Where is the MRI? This?
Look in the front.
MRI.
That's the SI issue, the swimsuit issue.
Oh, is that the bathing suit issue for SI? Hot man, pots and pans.
What?
Where do you carry that around with you?
This MRI over here?
Yeah, that's right. Don't you?
Is this the MRI over here?
Look in
no,
there.
I don't carry
Look in
around
the front
this swimsuit
flap.
Issue
no, not
Sports
that one.
Illustrated, no.
There should be like a purple and blue DVD in there.
Purple and blue.
Dude, that
DVD.
Came out in February. That
I know.
And
I haven't taken it out of the envelope yet.
Yeah, okay. No.
Is it not there?
Oh, you've taken it out of the envelope.
It out, all right.
Is it sticky?
It's been in and out and in and out. He's got dentine just in case.
I always have that. Is it not? Seriously, is it not there?
No, you have no. There's no MRI here,
Maybe
Jerry.
I took it out of the bag.
So we've called your BS.
I can bring it tomorrow.
Well, I mean, tomorrow.
You can't make that up. When I bring in an MRI, it'll be. It's
no,
what
but,
it is.
No, but you said you traveled with it.
Yeah, because I thought
I still think it's interesting that you have the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
I do.
There.
I do.
See if the pages are sticky.
No chance. You can check. No chance.
No, I'm not going to check. That'd be disgusting.
Yeah.
What else? Anything else sports wise?
The Penguins beat the Predators.
Can I have my put his carrots.
My carrots.
Back. Sorry.
Yeah. Penguins beat the Predators last night 5-3. Gensel snapped a 3-3
Gensel!
Tie after the Penguins had given up a 3-0 lead. They had 11 shots on Pekka-Rinne, 12 for the game because they scored an empty net, but they win game one in the Stanley Cup Finals.
I think for the Predators, that's got to be crushing. Only give up 11 shots on goal and lose. That's brutal.
Well,
no?
it's a bad loss, especially, you know, the fact that it was game one and it was their game to be had. But I will say this. You hold that team to only 11 shots on Pekka-Rinne, that's pretty good defense, man. And that's the thing that they could fall back on.
The game-winning goal is a bad goal.
I think they'll be fine.
But you got to make that stop.
And Pekka-Rinne is the reason that they're there.
Oh, he's played his ass off, right?
He's played his ass off. So he had a bad game last night.
Meanwhile, the NBA finals don't start till Thursday. Let's hope none of these guys complain about being tired after game one, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Boomer and Carton on the Fan. Tiger Woods, DUI. New York Mets won 3 out of 4. And Aaron Judge shows again this weekend why he's the best player in baseball. And I don't hear about Mike Trout. He's out for 2 months.
You're going to let that go?
You know what? It's
sliding at the second base.
I don't even want to.
I feel bad for Mike. Good guy.
Yeah, okay.
He won't be in the top two MVP this year. I know that.
Yes, he will.
No.
Yes, he will.
He's going to miss 2 months.
And he still will finish there.
Well, only one other guy in the history of baseball is finishing the top two 5 straight years.
Him.
One other guy. You know the other guy?
I don't.
Only 2 guys have ever done that before.
Willie Mays.
Barry Bonds. Babe Ruth didn't?
I don't know if they did. I don't know. Did they do MVP voting back then?
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Probably not great, right?
Nope, not great.
Right?
Right.
Probably not great, right?
Right.
About, did you see this story before you back to your calls?
Oh, here. Now what story are we talking about?
It's amazing.
And
that's my Mike impersonation. First time I've done that since Memorial Day, by the way.
Yeah, I see that.
Alex Rodriguez got a job with ABC World News.
What's what?
I think he's in the midst of what Michael Strahan's going through.
He's also
going
to be on Shark Tank.
And the thing about A-Rod is that he's very likable on camera. I think he is a big hit doing games, and I think
he's
last year
Fox over didn't
last he? Year when he did that whole World Series thing,
he was great.
He was awesome, and I think he has a.
You don't think Fox made him an offer,
dude? He has an opportunity to make $25 million a year just doing television.
Yeah, but hold on. Fox gave him the chance. Fox gave him that chance.
Well, yeah, I get it.
Don't you think, like, going to ABC, isn't that kind of like...
But ABC's going down that road, you
know? What I'm saying?
Think about it.
How about Fox?
Think about what Michael Strahan has turned his career into. Think about that.
Tiki Barber, right?
No. I mean, he basically got the job at Fox. It was great. Then sat in with Kelly for 4 years.
Right.
Killed it. And then basically moved over to ABC News. And I think that whoever is running ABC right now and making these decisions is looking at a good-looking guy who's likable on television, and we'll work with him and we'll get it right, and he will be a huge success. That's what it looks like to me.
I mean, I think so, too. But it's like A-Rod's going to be a world news, like a contributor to world news.
I don't necessarily know. He's not going to be sitting there talking about, you know, North Korea firing, you know, bottle rockets off into the, you know, Japan Sea. But I would just think that.
Imagine A-Rod sitting down with Putin. Would that be a fabulous interview?
Yeah, but it won't be used in those areas.
But what if, like, a world leader was like, ABC, look, I'll do the interview, but I'm only doing it if A-Rod's doing it.
Let me ask you this question.
Like, Mike Wallace used to have that
deal. Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
The biggest story when you wake up this morning in the nation, other than politics and
Tiger
the president,
Woods.
Right, it's Tiger Woods.
No doubt.
Who is a great guy to comment on Tiger Woods? A-Rod.
I guess A-Rod.
He'd be perfect.
Alex, tell us about Tiger Woods.
So, in other words, this is where he would be a great addition to ABC News.
I don't know.
He would be talking about it.
Like, what would A-Rod offer in the
Tiger
Woods story?
They're about the same generation, same players, same kind of success, same kind of downfall.
Saying?
I mean, there's a lot of similarities there. So I could see where A-Rod would be, I don't know if it's an expert, but somebody who has a wealth of credibility in the world of sports, popularity, problems, and likability. It makes all the sense in the world.
No, listen, it absolutely does. It does. From that standpoint, you're right, 100%. Here's Danny and Carteret on the Fan. Hey, Danny, what's going on, buddy?
What is up?
Tell us about it, Danny.
What is happening?
Nothing much. Okay. Had a real good time Friday. Thank you very much.
Oh, nice.
So glad
you're there. It was wonderful.
The sandwich. I didn't realize the sandwich you walked over to me, Craig, was a sandwich you actually made up there at the behind the table there.
I made that sandwich myself. That's right.
I know. I realized it when I watched the show on Saturday afternoon because I DVR'd the show. And
right.
I saw you were knuckles deep into the roasted peppers and the stuffed peppers with prosciutto and the chunks of cheese. And I said, Craig actually made that sandwich. It wasn't supplied by a sponsor.
No, you should have actually had him sign it, and then you could have went right along with your robe.
Let me tell you something. It was all good, baby. That was the Cartoni Special Italiano.
It was good. Prosciutto capicola. Speaking of the robe, Boomer, the kimono there, I actually wore it all day Friday. Wore it to the Yankee game Friday night because it had an Asian dragon on the back, and I figured it would bring Tanaka some good luck. And it sort of did with his 13 strikeouts, but the bullpen blew it, and he got the loss. So.
Did anybody say anything about you wearing the robe?
Oh, I had lots of comments. People were like, that's different. That's original. Then the squad I was with, they were like, what are you doing with the robe on? So I had to explain to them how it was at, you know, B&C at the headliner. And
right.
Al tossed it to me, and I caught it. So I wore it the whole rest of the day.
It's kind
of
like, when a bride throws the bouquet, you know,
right.
Like when
who's
Al
gonna
throws
be the
robe.
Lucky girl?
Yeah, who's going to be the guy? He's
going to kill
her.
Only problem is now is I got like a slight skin rash because Al said he didn't know where he got the rope from, so I got to look it up.
Meanwhile, poor Tanaka goes 8 innings and takes the loss.
Yeah, well, the other thing I wanted to say about my Yankees, that was tough to watch on Friday night, is that the last time I spoke to you guys was right after the Yankees beat the Royals on the road before this 20-game set started, and I said how besides the Baltimore series, which they're in right now, all the opponents they're going to face until their next day off on June 5th are all inferior teams. And you guys said, hey, like, you know, if you would take 10 out of 6 or 11 and 5, if you go on these other 16 games besides the Baltimore series, we'd take it any day. But the point I want to make is I'm not really satisfied, even though the Yankees are, they won most of these series except for the 3 games against the Rays, is when you compare it to something, I'll do a comparison in regards to the Mets. When the Mets lost 8 in a row, and
Terry Collins had his post-game press conference, and he was fired up in that post-game press conference. He basically called out the performance of his team. His team goes down to D.C. and does what no one expects with injured players, limited talent. They take 2 out of 3. Well, then I guess the question I want to ask you guys is, because you could see it with Girardi in his post-game press conferences, why when things are going good for a team, the managers don't light the team up and you know, get the fire?
Well, so, you know, sometimes they do. You don't know what's happening inside the locker room. And, you know, it's also there's a big difference when you're winning a lot more than you're losing. For example, you know, the Yankees have lost a couple games in the last 2 weeks, where afterwards, Girardi's like, look, we're not going to win every game. You know, it may have come down to a play here, a play there. Maybe your starting pitcher doesn't play well. So I think we're, you know, Girardi, listen, Girardi's won a World Series, and he's also had 3 years where he hasn't been in the playoffs. He gets New York. So I think he understands kind of the arc of, we're not going to win them all. And me going off on this team every time we lose a game is just ridiculous.
I'm going to tell you this, and I've said this for the last 10 years that we've been on this radio station. It is really, really difficult for a manager of a 162-game season to be on all the time and to be riding people all the time. Part of managing, I think, is the psychiatry of just dealing with the insane amount of time that they spend together with each other.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to stay afloat. Just stay afloat until August gets here. Just stay within striking distance.
Without
stay within five games without killing each other, without overreacting, without, a mutiny on the bounty, if you will.
Right.
And I think that's what these managers have to do on a daily basis. So that's why you're going to hear different managers talk about, you know, losing in a different way or winning in a different way, and they're not going to overreact to anything because you can't.
Right.
I mean, it's the same thing in any sport. Basketball, football, and baseball are pretty much the same because they play so many games. They're, not football, but hockey. Hockey more so than football. They play so many games. They're always with each other. They're always practicing. There's always something going on that, for a manager, you have to navigate all of those pitfalls.
Sure.
And you can't be like a curmudgeon the whole time.
No, that's how you talk about losing
frankly,
a team.
Joe Girardi has a young team, a number of young players.
Yes.
And he's trying to, like, manufacture with a Severino and a Pineda, trying to, you know, make sure that when they're out there, things are going well for them. And I know Terry Collins was trying to do that with Gesellman. And, you know, maybe the way that he handled Gesellman is going to start to pay off here.
Listen, when you have a young, exciting, exuberant, lively team, you have to embrace that.
You know, a football
like you
team.
Can't. Joe Girardi, and he's not doing this. If you are, you know, beating those guys down, then you lose the core of what they're so good at.
Hey, just stay afloat. Stay afloat until August, and then you can kick it into gear, and hopefully everybody's healthy. And all this negativity that the Mets have dealt with the first 2 months of the season, maybe the last 6 weeks of the season, it's the opposite of that. And if they could just stay within striking distance of the wild card, I'm not even talking about the Nationals now. I'm just talking about the wild card. But sooner or later, the Nationals are going to hit the skids somewhere along the line.
Maybe.
I would think so.
I mean, you imagine number's five. You want to stay within 5 games.
Let's say Bryce Harper is now out of the lineup for 5 games.
Right.
You know, it's like losing him for an injury.
You want to stay within 5 games by August 1. Is that the goal? And that's reasonable.
I think that's the way you got to look at it, and that's why you got to be really careful when you're a manager.
So 2 months.
You know, so in football, what happens is you'll be in training camp. Now, I don't necessarily know that they deal with this as much as we did because we had 2-a-days and it lasted for 4.5, 5 weeks. So you had a bad practice. They give you one bad practice. You come back the next day. If you have another bad practice, then the coach explodes.
Right.
Right? So that's when the football – they usually do it during the practices.
Happens every year.
Right. So we're practicing crappy on Thursday. You know, it's a bad practice. You've always heard that. So that's the football coach's time to, you know, inject his personality if something's not going right. I don't necessarily know how the baseball managers or the coaches behind the bench – or on the bench for basketball and hockey, deal with it. I mean, because they spend so much time together.
Well, you know how they deal with it. Case by case, player by player.
That's why it
moment
always
by moment.
It frustrates us fans because we want to see the visceral reaction to negativity. So if the Rangers are on an extended losing streak, I want to see my coach pissed off and I want to hear about what he thinks the problems are and how he's going to rectify them. But Alain Vigneault is not going to do that. He's going to kind of... he'll put out some guys on blast, but for the most part, he's going to just deal with it internally and not make a big deal out of it.
Here's all your accent. We're going to take a break. We'll get more of your calls. We'll get you an update from Jerry as well. All Boomer's asking for is, can you make up 3.5 games in 2 months? They're 8.5 games out. Are the Mets good enough over the course of the next 65 days to make up 3.5 games? On paper, that don't seem like it's a lot. Period. Stop.
That's why it's such a long season, man.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Your Buck Showalter, having lost 7 games in a row prior to the Yankee game yesterday, struggling big time.
Yeah, but there's a guy that's going to get him out of that malaise. It's going to be Buck, and you saw that yesterday with their performance.
Then comes my thoughts on Odell Beckham Boom.
Mm.
And I'm thinking that this is, it's like you've seen all the signs before with athletes, you know? And it's trouble waiting to happen.
Yeah, but you know,
Giants got to do something.
It's a weird thing because when you look at him, he looks like he's in awesome shape. Looks like he's going to come in and he's going to light the world on fire, which I bet you he will. I'm sure he'll have another great season.
Will.
I mean, part of me is like, I can't believe that he's not with his teammates. You know, that's the old school mentality, the traditional way of thinking. Be with your teammates, even though you're not required to be there. I get all that, right?
Sure.
But I also think that in a lot of ways, he may be helping the NFL players.
He may be helping by not going?
I said, screw this. I ain't going. I don't have to go.
Yeah, but I think there's still, but like you say, there's that other thing, the sense of camaraderie, teamship, all teammates, loyalty, the foxhole mentality. Plus, a lot of guys are probably happy to get out of the house for a couple of days and just, get the clock moving a little bit.
You know what? It is definitely a very individual aspect to who he is, meaning that, Tom Coughlin, we used to make fun of some of the sayings that he had, but the sayings were true. All in. Burn the boats.
Right.
We're all in this together, essentially. And in order to win, I think Bill Belichick and Tom Brady would tell you the same thing. Either we're in or we're not. And, it would be very interesting for me to see how Belichick would handle a player like Odell Beckham Jr.
I don't think he'd give a damn. I think Odell Beckham wouldn't do the things he does for Bill Belichick and with Tom Brady there. The other thing is that, he's already lied to the organization.
But wait a minute. You have Eli Manning, a two-time Super Bowl champion.
Right.
Two-time Super Bowl MVP there.
Yeah.
You have Ben McAdoo, who by all accounts has been a really terrific coach.
Right.
I asked Brandon Marshall a couple weeks ago. I said, so what's McAdoo like? He goes, and I said, I don't want you to compare him to anybody.
Right.
Just what do you think? He goes, he's a progressive coach. He's a young coach. He gets it. He knows what's going on. I really like him. He goes, I like everything about the Giants and what we're doing. So I'm like, I don't know why you'd want to take a shot at your coach.
I don't get that either.
By retweeting somebody else's words, you are in some way indirectly taking a shot at your head coach.
I don't think it's indirect. I think it's quite direct. Listen, we all get it. You're maybe the best player in the league. You know what? You failed miserably in your playoff game. And then I look at it that way, where here's a guy that had a great opportunity in Green Bay to cement and begin to create the legacy by which he'll ultimately be known for. Because you don't make your legacy just on the regular season. Your legacy is built on the big games, the postseason games. Did you perform? Were you Jerry Rice? Did you have one of the great New York Giant performances? Did you act like Plaxico Burress in Green Bay in 10 below zero, right?
Right.
That's what defines you as a player. You can have all the regular season stats, and God knows he does, and he will. But when you look back, and I ask the average Giant fan about Odell Beckham, two things come to mind immediately. One, he's the best player we got. Agreed. Number two, what a douche the week leading up to Green Bay, right? With the Florida trip and then dropping balls. I mean, you go back, just take a look, Boom, at the New York Giants' first possession of the game against Green Bay in the playoffs. Who drops the ball?
Well, Odell Beckham Jr. does.
Right. Drops the ball for a touchdown. Period. Stop.
And then Chris Carter came out and tried to make an excuse for him.
He don't need to go to OTAs. Me or him?
He made an excuse for Odell Beckham Jr. dropping balls against
did?
The Green Bay Packers.
What was the excuse?
He was too revved up, trying to make too much of a play, trying to be, I mean, the whole
I thought you're a football player at a ball game.
I have to tell you, I have to tell you, when you step on that football field and you put the uniform on, and every football player who's ever played this game, no matter what level you've ever played it at,
right?
You know what? You know what you're doing. You know what it takes to win a football game, and you know how hard it is to win.
Right.
And all the crap that you got to deal with. And then you got to sit here and tell me that he was trying to make too many plays.
Stop.
That he was trying. I mean, maybe he was distracted. Maybe this is the distractions that people are talking about, and distracted by the news of, and then the reaction by everybody, you know, on the boat, you know, and how we all took to that.
He'll be here when he's got to be here, no doubt about it. And I agree with you. Listen, I know he's in great shape. I know he works out a lot. I know he's a gym rat to a point. So I have no issues. He's not coming in here out of shape. But the reality is he's already started 2017 off in a manner that shows that he still doesn't get it. It's his right not to be there.
But, I mean, they're like openly.
But he's acting like a big douche.
Chris Carter's like openly talking about he's got to mature. Wait a minute. He's 25 years old, isn't he? Whatever he is,
He just signed a $29 million sneaker contract.
He's got a lot of money. He's got access to whatever he wants. He's probably, I would probably tell you right now, out of all the athletes in professional sports these days, we'll take the four major sports.
All right.
You'd throw Sidney Crosby in there. You'd throw LeBron James in there.
The biggest player in each sport?
Yeah, I mean, like the most wanted player to make an appearance.
Yeah, okay.
You'd probably say Tom Brady,
Aaron. Most popular player,
good or bad. You'd probably say Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
No, I would
tell you. And then Odell Beckham Jr.
Odell's right there.
That, no, I'm saying he's right at that level.
Yes, he is, sir.
So, I mean, what do you mean mature?
You could even make the argument. You could make the argument that Odell's the most popular player in the league, including Tom Brady. I'd make that argument. You go to kids under 18 years old.
They all have the hair like him.
Odell Beckham. It's a one-handed catch. Yeah. It's the hair, the whole thing.
I wonder if he understands really the power of that.
Well, he keeps showing up late to paid appearances with kids at it, and he apparently doesn't. Now, he's got his own football camp coming up, I hear, in the next couple weeks.
Where?
Well, I'll tell you one second. I saw it the other day. All right. Odell Beckham's got a football camp coming up. I believe the third week of June, boom.
Okay.
Yes, it's in August. It's his first year ever. Odell Beckham.
Where is it?
It's presented. It's got a sponsor attached to it.
Of course.
It's at Booton High School.
Okay, Booton.
From July, it's on July 26th. It's a 3.5-hour camp, 9 in the morning to 12:30.
Okay.
Camp's open for boys and girls between first grade and eighth grade. What do you think they're charging for the 3 hours? This rubs me the wrong way.
Okay.
Campers get instruction from Beckham and local coaches. They get an autograph, a camp t-shirt, and a photo with the star wide receiver. Okay.
Okay. Didn't somebody?
Yes, I'll tell you what it was in a second.
Somebody just got hammered for doing this.
I'm going to tell you what it was in a second. It resulted in an alleged hit put out on someone. James Harden did a camp for inner city kids in Houston. Charged those kids about $250. Moses Malone Jr., Moses' son, ripped him on social media. It's alleged now that James Harden paid the bouncer at a strip club that all the guys were at $20,000 cash to kill or beat the hell out of Moses Malone. Three guys beat the crap out of Moses Malone Jr.
Right.
And there's alleged to be text messages that prove that one of the guys got $20,000 cash from James Harden to do it. It's in court. He's being sued right now. So Odell Beckham is charging these kids $350. It's a lot. For a 3-hour camp.
For a week.
For a week.
Is it just one day?
For a day.
Just for one day.
Yeah. One day. That's obnoxious. Sorry. It's sponsored, which is great. They're charging $350 for a 3-hour camp, a 1-day camp.
So how many kids will show up to that?
I'm sure it'll sell out.
Well, what is a sellout?
That I don't know. I wish I could tell you that. But yeah, $350 for 3 hours, 1 day at Odell Beckham's camp. That's obnoxious. I don't begrudge you making money, but you're making money off kids, you know.
All parents.
Well, I mean, $350? Come on. Right? Like that's one of those days where, hey, you know what? I'm doing a camp, that's sponsored, meaning the costs of the camp are covered by a sponsor, guess what? It's on me. Now, if you want to buy a ball or buy something there and you want to merchandise the thing, all right, I guess I can see that. But the camp itself should be on the house. You got a sponsor for it. No?
I guess so. I mean,
come on.
You know, not everybody's going to live.
$350 for one day?
It's like I'm kind of torn between all of this because other guys have done this all around the country, and everybody does it the way that they want to do it.
I hate it.
And I know it's here, it's under our nose, and we're reading about it, and then you're putting it in the context of the Harden situation in Houston. You know, this is what I want. If I were his quarterback, I certainly would be disappointed that he's not there with me.
Right.
Okay? There would be no question about that. But when we start training camp and he's there day one, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Now that's when I'm paying attention because he has every right under the CBA not to show up if he doesn't want to OTAs, organized training activities.
Right.
I get it. You
By
know
the way,
I mean, but I'm disappointed, but I'll tell you what, when we put the pads on for real and we're ready to go, this is when I'm paying attention.
Real quick, they've sold out the exclusive dinner package for the camp, which is a standard package plus a VIP dinner with Odell for the camper and one guest for 1 hour. That's $500. That's sold out. The other one has not sold out yet, but it's $350. If you have a city card, it's 20% off.
Let's go to Rich in Cherry Hill. Rich, you're on the fan with Boomer and Carton. What's happening?
Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Doing well, man. What's going on?
You know, we make the Harper and Harper and Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
And maybe rightfully so. But there's a guy in Philadelphia called Fletcher Cox who hasn't reported. He's down in the Caribbean sunning himself. And nobody says anything.
Well, Olivier Vernon actually, you know, passed on it as well.
He did. So listen, he's the biggest star in the NFL. That's why it's a story.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Moment of the day!
I think this one's pretty self-explanatory. Craig not thrilled with the lack of publicity and or attention the station's social media gives us.
Our own website does not promote anything that we do.
All right, so let me ask you a question. Right now as we speak, who is handling the Twitter account?
I don't know.
Is that person in this building?
They're not on this floor, for sure.
Are they in this building?
Perhaps. I would imagine. Everything else is in this thing.
What do you mean, imagine? How do we not know
who
is running that? Where the hell is Chernoff? Get him in here. Where is he? Maybe he's doing it.
I doubt it. I don't think Mark is running the Twitter account.
I know this. There's an agenda against us.
Whoever, I'm a tiny tot of the kilowatt.
Yeah, we'll get his ass in here. Let's talk to him.
Whoever's doing it is a big fan of Schmilk and Lichtenstein.
There you go. Moment of the day.
By the way, that's our new afternoon show, I think. Schmilk and Lichtenstein.
All right,
hey,
Greggy,
Schmilk,
it's,
how you doing?
Not bad, Lichtenstein.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.